Good morning. It's 7:07. John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Monday morning, the 7 o'clock hour is set aside for the State Capitol Report. And usually our State Capitol reporter, Sean Johnson, joins us for a discussion about politics in Wisconsin. But Sean's on vacation this week. Good for him. We'll soldier on. Joining me in this half of the program is Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council, the nonprofit, nonpartisan science and technology advisor to the governor and the state legislature. And then after 7:30, State Representative Stephen Noss will join me, and we're going to be talking about the economy because a lot of these things are related, education, tuition, all that stuff. So, Tom Still, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, thanks, John. Glad to be here.
So, before we get into discussing the economy, I mean, you've been a political observer in the state for a long time. Give us your thoughts now that the recall fever seems to have abated.
Well, and I'd be the first to say that I'm not expecting a great spirit of bipartisanship to move over the land right away. That's probably not in the cards. But I do think there are some opportunities for the governor, the legislature, and just ordinary citizens right here in Wisconsin to work together around a set of issues that, as we move ahead, that could really be to Wisconsin's advantage, especially around economic development.
Well, last Tuesday, Governor Walker hosted, as you know, a special brat and beer summit at the governor's mansion, hopefully healing some of the, some of the hurt feelings, to say the least, after a bitter recall election. Do you think that Republicans and Democrats are going to get along any better now?
Well, I think the brat event was a good start. I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, if you go back in time, I remember covering the legislature at a time when there were more social events, simply put, that did bring Democrats and Republicans together. And sometimes after that, they'd continue to squabble like cats and dogs over the issues. But at least there was a sense of civility about it, of course. And then also just the notion that they would get together and see each other as basic human beings and be able to talk things out in a more informal atmosphere. So I think events like that have value. You don't want to put too much stock into what the ultimate results might be, but at the same time, they're about building relationships. And if you believe that politics really is, at the end of the day, about relationships, in addition to the policy itself, then I think that's important.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the economy. Governor Walker has said one of the things holding back job growth in Wisconsin has been this barrage of recalls. And that now the businesses will see a more stable political environment, employment will skyrocket. Have the recalls been hampering job growth? Do you agree with the governor?
I think there was a long period in which there was certainly uncertainty about Wisconsin politics. There's no doubt about that because of all that long period leading up to the recalls and through the election itself. Markets, whether they're global, national, regional, whatever, like stability. And I think a lot of businesses would put themselves in that same category. I think there were some business leaders and companies in this state and probably elsewhere that were just sitting back for a while to see what would happen. So that could, the fact that it's over, and this might have been the case even if it was over in another result, but the fact that it's over means that a number of those businesses and the people who lead them are going to be more likely now to take some of the steps that they were holding off taking. That might include investments in sort of their own capital stock within their company, the kinds of things that they need to run it. They might be more people. Could be a variety of things that they would step forward on now.
Maybe our elected leaders need to take a look at the five ways you suggest boosting the state's economy, and we're going to talk about each one in detail. But just to set the table, what are these five bipartisan approaches?
Sure. And bear in mind, these are things that I came up with within the context of, first of all, I run the Wisconsin Technology Council, and so we care about technology and knowledge-based economy and those sectors. So it's within that context for start. And for second, there were things that, as I sat back and look at, I thought they were achievable for certain reasons, whether because the governor and the legislature already had a head start or because it ought to be possible to come together around it. So the five, first was meet workforce challenges across the education spectrum. And I think there's room for a lot of innovation in education, especially in higher education. Elevate Wisconsin's standing in a global economy. That's all about exports, where Wisconsin's already doing a great job, and there's more opportunity to do even better. And foreign direct investment, that's where we could attract a lot more investment from abroad. The third was create more companies at home. We care a lot about entrepreneurism and some of the partners we work with, like the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Same thing. That's where they want to spend a lot of their time as well. Encourage early stage and growth capital. You might remember, John, there was a debate in the last session of the legislature. Democrats and Republicans alike found some things that they thought they could agree on, but the clock ran out. So that was the fourth one. And then just infrastructure. And I think that's everything from having the right cyber infrastructure in Wisconsin, such as broadband, such as really high-end computing capabilities, and then things that are more traditional, such as roads and railroad to move freight and other things like that.
All right, so we've got your five things listed, and by the way, there is a link to the article on the WPR website if you go to the Joy Cardine page, and I believe it's also linked on Facebook if you want to look at what Tom Still wrote in detail. You may want to join us by phone at 800-642-1234 and give us your suggestions for bipartisan ways the state can get the economy moving. 800-642-1234. Email address is talk@wpr.org. You can also find the Joy Cardine Facebook page, the Joy Cardine program Facebook page, and leave a comment or question there. So we heard a news story during the newscast at the top of the hour, and you just alluded to this. We've got some workforce challenges. We've got a lot of people out of work. But we do have shortages in some pretty key areas of jobs, of people to work in jobs that actually pay pretty well.
That's correct, John. You know, Wisconsin, its unemployment rate now is among the better in the country in terms of percentage terms. It's running just under 7%. Now, if you're among those 7%, you know, the unemployment rate's 100% because you're out of work. But at the same time, there are shortages in some areas, especially around certain manufacturing skilled jobs. What's often used almost as a poster child for this is welders. Now, it's true that there are a lot of opportunities in just that particular field, but I think that's become something of shorthand for a larger set of manufacturing skilled jobs. And I think it's real important to remember today that employment in manufacturing is not like it was a generation ago, not even close. I mean, it's really high-tech employment at this time. So there's a whole set of jobs there. Then I think there's a whole set of jobs in other aspects of the knowledge economy around science and technology, very, very particularly. That's where I think our education system needs to continue to produce those kinds of people, and we need to continue to attract them from outside Wisconsin. So those are two areas, somewhat different in a way, but they all involve very specific skills that we really need today.
We're talking about some things that Wisconsin can do to improve its economy, some bipartisan ideas. Tom Still is my guest. Your comments and questions are welcome, and we're going to continue to talk about these suggestions between now and 7:30. So if you want to get in on this discussion, this part of it, you want to get in right now at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, talk@WPR.org, or find the Joy Cardine program on Facebook and leave a comment or question there. Most of the state will see cloudy skies today. It'll become partly cloudy in the south, kind of warm in the south as well. Showers and thunderstorms are likely in northeastern Wisconsin. A chance of rain elsewhere today. Low to mid-80s in the north, low to mid-90s in the far south. but cooler near Lake Superior and Lake Michigan north of Milwaukee. Overcast skies in Milwaukee this morning with 73 degrees. It's clear now in Eau Claire with 72 and Wausau with 65. Mostly cloudy in Green Bay with 64 and Oshkosh with 67. Clear skies in La Crosse, 78 degrees already there this morning, and 76 in Madison with clear skies. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. It's 7:19. You're listening to the Ideas Network of WPR. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report for Monday, the 18th of June, 2012. My guest is Tom Still, president of the Wisconsin Technology Council, the nonprofit, nonpartisan science and technology advisor to the governor and the state legislature. Tom wrote an article on wisbusiness.com outlining five economic areas where he believes that Governor Walker and the legislature can help reinforce Wisconsin's economy and get things moving again. We're talking about those things in detail. We talked about some workforce challenges, getting the right people to the right place to take the jobs that are available and making sure that they're trained. I guess one of the problems, Tom, is we just had a state budget that, every aspect of education in the state got a pretty good cut. How do we sell the idea that we need that we're going to be training more people if we're not going to spend more money on education?
I think it's clear that investment in education has certainly taken some hits, and actually really over the past 10 to 15 years, if you look at the numbers, it's not a new phenomenon. But I think that means that there's need for more innovation about being more efficient with the dollars that are there. That's where I think higher education is poised to move ahead. I really believe that. In fact, Steve Noss is on your show after this, and I'm sure you could talk to him about this.
I intend to.
Oh yeah, I mean there are ways I think to get more out of what is already there, and to I think fully unleash the potential, especially of the UW system. The last session of the legislature, there were some efforts about trying to create more almost independence within the system and to remove some of the barriers that stand in the way. I think that might be a continued push as we move ahead. I think there are ways to help the tech colleges and the university system continue to cooperate together about building a more seamless pathway for adults. You know, when you talk about skilled training, it often begins in the tech colleges and then goes on into the four-year system. Sure, there are financial challenges to higher education in Wisconsin as well as K-12, but I think with the right kind of innovation and an approach where people stand back and take a look about what's working, I think you can make the case that it's going to get more efficient.
All right, let's continue to go through your list here. I'm hoping we can get to most of these. We may not discuss all of them in detail. You want to elevate Wisconsin's standing in the global economy. How do we do that?
Starts with exports, where Wisconsin's already doing an increasingly good job. Exports have gone up in each of the past, 4 out of the last 5 years. There was 1 year in the middle of the recession it did not. And that spans a lot of different sectors. Manufacturing, of course, high-tech manufacturing, and agriculture. Those are areas where Wisconsin continues to be poised to supply what the world needs. Now, even though we're here and smack dab in the middle of the country, we have access to markets around the world, and that's, and I think those efforts are going to continue. And also to attract more foreign direct investment because of a variety of trends around the world, I think more countries are looking at investing in the United States, and Wisconsin ought to be a target.
And you also want us to create more companies here in the state of Wisconsin. How do we do that?
Almost any survey you look at will tell you that small businesses are the number one driver of the American economy. That's where most new jobs are created, is those really young businesses, 5 years old or younger. I think a lot of the effort can be put on helping create the climate that allows new companies to start in Wisconsin. You know, for years we were sort of at the bottom of the 50-state rankings when it comes to creating new companies. Now we're starting to climb up. I wouldn't say we're a top half yet, but we're starting to show some progress there. So I think the state can continue to work on that. And it's a lot of different things. I think it's making the right kinds of skilled opportunities available in terms of, so that entrepreneurs can learn how to do more to run their companies. That's number one. But also, I think, and this gets to another point I made about making capital available, angel and venture capital. And again, some progress already in the state, but there's more that can be done to catch up with others.
Yeah, but I guess we know that probably 70%, maybe even more, of economic activity in this country is driven by consumer spending. If people don't have money, you don't have demand. If there's no demand, why open a new business? How do we get more money in people's hands so that they can spend it?
Well, I think, you know, some of that is cyclical, just in terms of how the economy itself functions and when it is producing wealth. One of the drivers of producing wealth is innovation, pushing up from the bottom with new ideas, new companies that sometimes crowd out those at the top. It's, you know, it's the notion of creative destruction that these new ideas come in and are creating more opportunities and, in fact, often creating markets where there were no markets before. That's really what happened with the Internet. That's the story of the Internet. There was no market there. And so as that was born and now is transforming itself again into a more of the mobile revolution, that's a way of creating new markets. And so small businesses tend to do that. They also tend to hire at home and to buy the kinds of supplies and facilities and hire people that they need close to home.
And you also mentioned infrastructure. There again, you know, if we want to improve our infrastructure, we're going to have to spend some money. There doesn't seem to be a real feeling that we want to do that, at least at the state capitol.
Well, and some of this, you know, is both hard and soft infrastructure. I think regardless of administration and politics in the capitol, there's always been a notion that Wisconsin needs to have the right transportation system. That to me has seemed to be one of those bipartisan constants. That's whether we have the right farm-to-market road system, whether we have the kinds of airports that we need, the kinds of harbors, and in fact freight rail. Those have all always been out there, I think, as priorities. The thing that's really newer right now is the notion that we do need to do more in terms of broadband and really building those kind of high-end computing networks that are needed in parts of the state that have to really stay connected to the global economy. That's happening. So in some cases, that's not going to be as high cost as people imagine. Broadband is where there's probably some higher cost because it oftentimes the hardest to reach areas are rural. And so the just in terms of the cost per person over space is higher. But I think that those kinds of investments are on their way, especially I think a combination of private and public. So it can be done. Longer term, it's where we need to be.
Well, in South Korea, every home is going to have 1 gigabyte access to the internet. I mean, and in this country, the local internet providers brag when they can give us 10 megabyte, which is a small fraction of that. We really are far behind here in the United States in being able to offer true broadband, because the definition continues to be anything past 56K is considered broadband.
Right, and in some areas of this country, even you'll see where those higher those 1 gig and above definitions are starting to take hold. That, because you're right, John. I mean, that's truly what the kinds of connections you need to do business today. You or I in our home may not need 1 gig necessarily, but I think if you're running a small business and you're trying to conduct e-commerce, you probably need that kind of access, that kind of a pipeline, so to speak, to reach your customers. And that's where Wisconsin could do more, I think, over time. It's really also going to help our R&D base in terms of what's going on in the university system and beyond.
Okay, we've got a comment on Facebook. This might be the last thing we get to in this segment. Jim on Facebook writes, how many bills in the last session addressed any of these issues? How many actually moved backwards, particularly on education?
I don't have a specific bill count, and maybe you do, John, but I can tell you that around early stage and growth capital, for example, there were four or five different proposals that were floating around the Capitol, all of which had some kind of traction at different times. As I said earlier, I think the clock just mainly ran out, and there were some issues that actually, in this case, you know, tied into the recall. There was just some uncertainty. So there were a bunch of bills around that. I think there have always been some interesting ideas out there around entrepreneurism, around trade. And on education, I think, you know, the big discussion there was around the state budget and the sort of the notion of more independence within the UW system. And I think some of those things could come roaring back.
We there's been a call of from a number of legislators, including Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca, to have a special legislative session focusing on jobs. Do you think we need that?
I think lawmakers could get together around such a call. You know, the governor calls a special session. The legislature can call what's called described as an extraordinary session. But then it would take both houses of the legislature to make such a call around a very specific agenda. So in other words, the Senate and the Assembly would have to agree coming in what they want to address.
Okay.
And that would take a lot of homework just to get that done. That would be very positive.
Tom Still, thanks for joining us. We're out of time. We have to get to the news, and we'll be back with Representative Stephen Noss in just a moment. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.